Well, we listen now to God's word for us, which today is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 23. Jesus is journeying with his disciples when he is approached by an eager young man, a would-be disciple. And we watch a video presentation of their encounter. Mark chapter 10, 17 to 31. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. And we know sometimes that word brings us hard teaching and great challenge. You empty our hands of that wealth of unneeded things we cling so tightly to, that you may fill them again with your grace and hope and love for others. So as we reflect on this encounter, help us all to know that one thing which might be holding us back from following you into that life which Jesus offers each one of us. Amen. The text for my sermon today is Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." The rock singer Meatloaf had a song that had the lyric, "I would do anything for love, but I won't do that." And so it was with this rich young man. The encounter is there in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel. He came to Jesus with great eagerness. But the challenge that he met in Jesus meant that he went on his way with great hesitancy. Jesus' demands left this young man shocked, appalled, mournful, and forlorn. Like the camel in the story, he had the hump. And it could have been so different, but he made his choice that day. Thinking about him, it came to mind that he is an almost Zacchaeus. You remember the story of Zacchaeus who met with Jesus, who had an invitation from Jesus, "I'm coming to your house for tea." And so he opened up his home and opened up his heart and changed his way from getting and cheating to giving generously. He's an almost Zacchaeus. But he faltered at the moment of decision. For him, the pearl of great price, Jesus, just wasn't worth the asking price. He was rich, but he couldn't afford the cost of being a disciple. He wanted for nothing, but he didn't want Jesus more. "I would do anything for love, but I won't do that." And in this scene, this rich man with perhaps an entourage with him would have stood out in stark contrast to that ragged band of poor fishermen and their traveling rabbi, Jesus. Was he rich enough, perhaps, to own a number of properties or successful businesses and even own slaves to work for him? Here was a man who was held captive, possessed, we can say, by his possessions. Consumerism, the desire for wealth, consumed him. And Jesus that day wanted to release him from it all. Sell what you own. Give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. It must have been a shocking demand and a mysterious one. What is treasure in heaven? But it was the call to let go, to relinquish, to live in this world as if you owned everything but possessed nothing. And we might say that this would include selling his slaves and restoring their freedom. And didn't Jesus come to do that? If he had had the courage, and which one of us here today would say we would have perhaps chosen anything different, knowing what he knew about Jesus then. For Jesus said about not building a tower unless you can complete it. So don't start the journey of discipleship unless you know you can complete it. And we remember that that's in the background of this story for us. You know, I don't want to be too harsh on him because I can see myself in him, and perhaps you can as well as you think about your life. But if he had had the courage on that day to be obedient to Jesus, then he could see his wealth do so much more. Not just serving him, but think about what it could have meant. Transforming lives for the better. His charitable giving could have put food on the table for the poor, could have provided housing and work and so on. And wouldn't he have been blessed to see that wealth released in that way? His small, tiny world could have opened up into a generous enterprise and brought happiness and freedom to others and ultimately to himself. For surely the joy of investing in people far outweighs the joy of selfish gain. But he couldn't quite take that step, that, well, more than a step, a leap of faith. The door to eternal life was just too narrow. He couldn't squeeze through with all his stuff. He couldn't leave it all behind. And here we see the danger. It stands as a warning to us all, doesn't it? There is a risk. Love things and use people. Or use things and love people. And it's that latter that God calls us to do. Don't love things and use people, but use things to bless and love people. So that we are a channel of God's blessing, and it flows out from us, and that we're not like the Dead Sea that is salty and dead because it has no outlet, but that it flows out to others. And really what it comes down to is this. The one thing that the rich young man lacked was love. It was love in his heart. Yes, he was respectable. He was God-fearing. But did he have love in his heart? Did he know what it was to be loved? Did he feel loved, or did all that stuff kind of replace love in his life to give him a meaning and status and purpose? But we know it's not the amount of stuff we have, it's what's in our heart that makes us rich in the eyes of God. But Jesus knew his heart. And in that wonderful verse we heard, Jesus looked at him and judged him, condemned him. No, loved him. Jesus loved him, willing him to change. Jesus called him to love people. But he couldn't quite do it. He was almost like Ebenezer Scrooge, but remaining in chains, not having that will to have that final change of heart. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Would I? Would you? No wonder that Peter, the disciple, in that moment spoke up and thought, well, Lord, we've left so much behind. What about us? And Jesus says, yes, I know you've left everything, but what you've left is nothing compared to what you will gain in this world, family, brothers and sisters. Perhaps he was thinking of the wider church that they would become part of. Properties, churches, establishments, mission houses, everything. It would all be part of God's kingdom, their wealth. And with it, he says, persecutions. And that cuts, doesn't it? We don't want to hear that word in the things that we're going to get as disciples. Persecutions, a cost to being a disciple. But as you come here today, you will know that you have paid a price to follow Jesus. There will be some cost to your discipleship. And thinking about it, would any of us, if right at the beginning when we first met Jesus, he said, this will be your life, and these are the things that you will have to trust me with. Things that you might have to let go of. Hopes and dreams that you will have to reassess. And with them, he said, persecutions. And that was just telling the truth, because that's what happened to these disciples. They received persecution. And it still happens today. We think of David Amos today, who was a Catholic Christian. Think of the cost and the persecution he has received, and his family, for doing his work, for trying to do the kingdom work of a politician. So it's a hard teaching today. It's a grown-up gospel. A hymn writer put it like this. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. What claims your highest loyalty today? What is that one thing more the Lord is asking you and me? Today, are you open to be challenged by this call to follow Jesus? Where will it take you? What will your yes cost? And what will be the reward? Not just in this life, but in the life to come. God is faithful, and we have that vision of the life to come, those treasures in heaven that will not compare to all that we try and grasp in this world. Will you let God today remove any hardness or greed or barrier in your heart and mind today? That hurdle that prevents us following Jesus wholeheartedly. That we might go from here in freedom, to hold more lightly to the things of earth, and to hold more strongly to those treasures in heaven. And most of all, today to know that just like this rich young ruler, Jesus looks on you with perfect love today. As we sang, over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. He loves us into change. May we be filled with the love of Jesus as we make our response now in our song. Overflow, that we might put the gifts that God has given us at the service of the poor, the stranger. We'll never know what became of that rich young ruler. I wonder, did he have a change of heart at some time? Did he have a change of heart and seek Jesus out and make a decision? We don't know if he accepted the call of Jesus on his life, on his riches. But our response, well, that is in our hands. That is in our hands. May he give us grace to answer his call and respond in obedience. For his glory, amen.